So with these two options in mind, we could listen to overused wisdom and music, or an inexperienced fool who doesn't even understand what he's saying at all. Just throwing his own dust into the wind and all those tired out cliches, and still we know exactly what they mean and mean to us. So is overused wisdom still pertinent? Or should we aim for ingenuity no matter how mundane? We ponder these questions most days. Those are the good days when we remember. When we remember how to question our existence and reality and all those big concepts that by challenging them, it doesn't really matter much. We're fracturing nothing, making no breakthroughs in thought or learning. Just kind of looking at them and wondering. Up next, we've got Walking Blues by Big Mama Thornton. Please enjoy.
Well, I guess I'll start walking. I've got on my traveling shoes. Well, I guess I'll start walking. I've got on my traveling shoes. I am about to lose my baby, and I really have got the blues. Well, he swore to make me happy, said he'd never make me cry. Yes, but it's hard, hard, hard to love someone who won't be fair. Lord, won't be fair.
Mama Thornton right there, Walking Blues. What an artist. I can't get enough of her. So many great jazz singers, blues singers, artists of the past that still speak the people living today. And there is some sort of immortality that may be it. Legacy? But I think it's more than that. It's not just a memorial. I think the fact that you're inspiring people continuously, that's what makes great art great. This is Blues in the Witching Hour. I haven't decided on a name yet. You can call in at any time if you're listening at 413-559-6766. Still got some battery left, so we're going to listen to Bo Dallas and the Wild Magnolias. This is the Louisiana Creole natives who perform every year on Mardi Gras. Here is their Injuns, Here They Come. Hope you enjoy this one. When technology doesn't cooperate is the way we often phrase it. It's as if we have to argue with technology, as if it's a being or some sort that we must convince to work with us. That always seems a little convoluted. I understand that we can't make anything perfect. I mean, there are always going to be problems in no matter what we make. But, I mean, it's made to work for us or to report on us. We're still struggling with technology. Struggle, it's a movement against technology. Maybe one day. I hope not. Raises a lot more questions the moment we have robots feeling emotion, when we have technology that responds to how we feel. Is that empathy? That conscious thought? Are our own actions so predictable and programmed? Humanity's creations are always mirrors. At 11:55 in the evening, it's pretty chilly outside. Could be listening to this at any time, at any hour. Live radio, my ass. I sometimes find it funny on Hampshire's campus how many cigarette butts lie on the ground, and yet how many people go to environmental rallies. A lot of people went on that bus. And I'm not saying they're the same people throwing cigarette butts on the ground, but I don't know. Fuck it, pick them up. But small missions are not missions at all for today's youth. They reach for the stars and yet do not see the mountain before them. There are steps everywhere to ascend to new levels, but we will not take them. We are better than that to use steps made by those before us. We are our own original beings, and we do not need the words of our forefathers to guide us. Brilliant, shattering the earth with our brains rather than brawn. We have gone beyond evolution. We are the progenitors of the future now.
And what does that mean, Mr. Jones?
Well, Bobby, that means that you are the most important person as far back as your family goes, because this is the beginning of a new millennium. And that's when we start counting from zero forward, and then BC actually just goes into negative numbers. I'm counting backwards. So the year 2560 is kind of what I'm estimating. The year 2560 would be at the year zero, and then back to our year zero, there would be some sort of logarithmic scale relating the years, because it has to be, because so much more progress happened in the past 400 years, you see. That time is really measured by progress, and progress can't be measured by time. God damn it. We're better than that. So the scientists at CERN will produce a revolutionary new calendar that every American home must have by the decree of the Constitution of the United States of America. Clause 14 of Amendment 44. If we get to 44 amendments by that year, whatever I said, 2560, that will be cool. America probably won't be around, to be honest. So, but you never know. We will never know whether America will be around in 2560 unless we get some pretty fucking cool cryogenics going on. That would be awesome. Cryogenics would really revolutionize everything. Mostly just for the idea of knowledge. When you have firsthand sources, do you believe their accounts? They're one person, or do you believe history? Especially when we have such new forms of recording data just in mass quantities. I mean, the internet, God, the public can now record history now. Like, what's going on now can be stored as history because democracy says so. That has never happened before. Every single historical document that we find has to be framed within some sort of context of who created it. And maybe we will still have to do that now, but I think Wikipedia and Twitter and Facebook and all of these things that are storing our words and our language, that's all going to be accessible. I mean, the Library of Congress is already storing tweets. Wouldn't it be fascinating? I mean, there are some detractors of this, so I want to argue for the Library of Congress's decision. Wouldn't it be fascinating to read the tweets of Babylonians? I mean, that's the idea behind this, is to make our present accessible for the future, and so that we won't make those same mistakes that we have in the past, and we don't need to read history through a lens of religion or philosophy or just the social climate of the era. We're reaching the stage where the government can't control thought like it used to, or government or big companies or whatever sort of mass conglomerate of money you can call it. Suddenly the people have the say in history, and that I think is going to make the difference more than anything else in humanity stepping forward. Sure, scientific advancement is going to make big differences, but as far as just socially understanding history, the fact that kids will be able to go on YouTube and Facebook or whatever databases exist in the future and find your Facebook profile, does that not terrify you? Oh my. I don't want my kids finding my Facebook profile. 40 years from now, 18-year-old me will be terrifying. Maybe that's good. Maybe that gives me more incentive now to be a better person and be more conscious of how I present myself on social media and on the internet, just because all of that might be available in the future to children and spouses and everything else, and employers suddenly just have dirt and blackmail on everybody, and that's just the reality of the situation. Or there's the whole movement of making yourself very unfindable and untrackable on the internet. There's that movement going on. And I don't know what to think of that, because that might create some sort of class system. I don't know. If you've got some people with the ability to pay for an advantage on how they're presented on the internet, getting a premium LinkedIn profile, I don't know, they get better jobs, or don't get fucked over as much in life because there isn't information on them on the internet that they can get scammed or robbed or whatever. Wouldn't call that a class system because, well, it might be. It might be. If there's an economic divide still, as bad as it is now, in the future, then, and there's an economic ability, and it's not a government mandated or public mandated charter to protect all people on the internet, like certain people will be able to afford better rights. And I know that Obama supported net neutrality and all that stuff, but there are just so many ways to get ahead on the internet. I mean, like, it's like apps. Future Hampshire students listening to this, apps are things you buy on your phone. You can play games or check your bank account information or look at the weather. Apps will probably exist in a while. Apple's Titan. What if Apple's outdated in like 50 years? That would be awesome. And there was just some new company that's not Google or IBM, I guess, is another one. Yeah, if it's not Google or Apple or any of the old companies, like, there's probably going to be a new one. That's scary. You know, none of these songs downloaded, and that's kind of disappointing. Everyone should make sure to listen in all the time at radio.hampshire.edu, even though I know it's reruns most of the time. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You can also check us out at soundcloud.com/theyurt. Future Yurtling, SoundCloud is a music service that we use and fucking sucks because it won't let us put copyrighted music on there, even though we're radio station. So I'm going to play this song. It's not blues. Sorry, breaking the theme, but it's good. It's Balkan Beatbox, War Again.
Join the gang with the bang bang and the same song we sang, coming over and over again. Picking up now, getting more like a game. And it feels real like we'll end up fake the fame. And there's never more than one truth, but you can't always tell your better half.
Always tell your better half of the story. Goes well with the better side of your face you show on TV. Give me a good reason why I shouldn't start a revolution. What's in the Constitution? It's this illusion that we buy. You cut the wings and then you say fly. You say the hero is the one that died, but the true hero is the one that doesn't live a lie and understand that there's an end out of the cycle. Who's the master? Who's the disciple? You can do what you can, but will you do it again? So what's the plan? Looks like we're gonna get war again. Like we
we're gonna get war again. Coming hard, come and get a gun, join the game. With the bang bang in the same song we say. Coming over and over, gonna get war, speaking up. Now nah, getting more like a game. And it feels real like we learn to fake the fame. And there's never more than one truth, but you can't always tell your better half. Look out! Gonna get war again, gonna get wrong again, gone again. With the same song again, on again. Can be born again, who's gone again? Who's gonna gain out of this war again? Hooligan in a tie rule again. Soon again, you'll see it all begin again. Sink again, and that'll make you think again. And when they call, you go. When they're wrong, you know. And you will follow, then you will swallow again like long ago. And the bomb will blow, so sit back. Enjoy the show, US Coast is low. I am here below, I'm gonna speak out, scream out, here we go. Got the fresh flow, so before it's over then, you're gonna find a different kind of war to start again.
Gonna get war again, gonna get war. Gonna get war again, gonna get war. Gonna get war again, gonna get war. Gonna get war again, gonna get war.
Gonna get war again,
gonna get war. Gonna get war again, gonna get war.
Over and over and over. Like the game, fight the fame. Oh, we think I'm gonna have a start.
Yeah. I know, that was pretty loud. But I thought it was a good song. I don't know. Those kind of things get me happy. I don't know, they got good vibes. All that kind of good stuff that you want in a song. I like the horns. Also, just the idea, like, I don't know. War again. Far too many places in the world where men go to war twice. Go fight twice. Those who went through, I shouldn't say men and women, and anyone else who identifies in between. World War I and World War II, like, there were people who fought in both. Korea, Vietnam. Mexican-American War. Civil War. I'm listening to American Wars, or wars that America fought in, because these are the ones I know. But there are countless wars in so many countries. I'm just constantly fighting or defending or just violence. It's not good. That's all I can say. From this wonderful vantage point that I have as a privileged person living in a peaceful place, it's just not good. Don't have the answer. Don't know what we can do to stop it, help it. But I know that it needs a solution, some sort of medicine. It's good to know what the source is. I mean, a lot of these countries in the quote-unquote developing world, it's because of colonialism, I guess. I learned that this year. Can't pretend I knew any of that before, even if I thought about it. But I learned about colonialism, neocolonialism, all the faults of the World Bank and IMF and all that stuff. And it just makes you real upset that, like, you're paying into that system and you don't really have a choice in the matter where your dollars go. And like, if you want to live here, there are ways that you cannot pay taxes. But for 99.9% of the people here, you're going to have to pay taxes. And you just have zero control, really, over where those tax dollars go. And I'm not saying we need a smaller government. I do believe that. But I'm not saying that's the solution. Because there are so much bigger things at work than the U.S. government. The U.S. government, sure, plays a large role on the world stage and makes a lot of change happen, just the press of a button. But there are bigger people than President Obama or whoever's president later. God, I hope not Ted Cruz. If someone figures out how to redirect tax dollars to something that I believe in, that I think can work, I'll join that country. I wish we had more people seceding from the Union, to be quite honest. I think that would be a cool thing that would happen. Now, there's that guy who, like, Sealand in England or UK or whatever. Seceded and lived on an oil rig or something. Just had, like, a shotgun there in case, like, Navy patrol came up. And they did. But he was, like, far enough off the coast that he was in international waters and he just found it at his own place. But I think even further, like, going on that same idea, just, like, taking a plot of land and saying, like, I'm not going to be paying taxes. I'm just going to live here. And if they decide to, like, come in and evict you, first of all, that's probably not going to happen. But, like, if you get the press behind you, and, like, not even the press, because I know people don't really think that the press is going to represent them fairly, but just, like, you get the internet behind you nowadays, and, like, create enough of a hubbub that the government or whoever, sheriff, doesn't want that bad publicity. That does it so often nowadays. I think you just get a petition online and people sign it. It's like, oh, I empathize with that idea and, like, I wish I could live that life, or I can't go to protests. I have work to do. I think there's a lot of guilt about not being a true activist here at Hampshire College. A lot of people do. I don't want to discredit them. There are a lot of people here that practice very diligent activism and fight for their beliefs in every way. But I think there is a lot of guilt, and I feel it so much. I really was never into activist movements in high school and just didn't really expect to get into them. Now I like share the beliefs and I have strong beliefs and I love discussion with people about the future of the system and past the system and current state. I love that. And I know all those people congregate and go protest, but I just don't go. There's other stuff I could be doing. I could be doing a blues hour at fucking midnight and 15 in the morning. Oh. Phone's dead. And I think that guilt manifests it in such odd ways that it's not really fighting for any big issue. It's fighting for personal rights, personal freedom. Personal freedom's great. I'm going to get some water really quick. I'll be back. I think personal freedom's great and it's worth fighting for. Definitely. Absolutely. But the fact that we don't have organized movements nowadays really means that we're not getting any big political change. And some can argue that the change that happened in the 60s isn't a big political change. The change that happened in the 20s and 10s and women's rights movements and civil rights movements wasn't big change because the problems persisted after that. But the fact of the matter is that there was legislation that was drafted and there was congressional and presidential support, and you can not believe in the system at all and think that legislative change doesn't matter, but the fact that you or the activists convinced politicians to get behind movements and support them, that is huge. Convincing people that high up and that money inundated to stop supporting long-held systems and beliefs. I mean, God knows politicians are the hardest ones to get behind movements unless they're trying to corrupt the movement somewhat. But since we don't have those organized movements nowadays, what we end up getting is just individuals occasionally congregating behind an idea that they kind of share, or like they share some values in it, but nothing big. No Southern Baptist Conference, just the youth don't go to church these days is what some people say. It is, and like I don't want to say it's church and Christian movements, but just a whole bunch of young people getting in one building and it not being sports. That's, I think, makes movements happen. And listen to somebody speak about faults of the current system, you'll get your protests, you'll get your boycotts. Online petitions, I don't think, can do that, really. Sorry. I wish that that sort of change really could happen from just me clicking my mouse on the interwebs. I wish. That'd be great. But it just doesn't happen. I mean, that, and also we just don't have a lot of people running for public office, I think, or at least high up public office, who don't have some sort of ulterior agenda. I mean, I just don't think we have that many politicians who go into politics thinking they're going to fix something that's broke. I mean, that might be one of their reasons, but I think there are a lot of other reasons nowadays, too. Too much money. On Hampshire's campus today, there were some tree attacks on the eastern side of the forest. Some reported these to be Ents, but there are conflicting stories that include the squirrels raising their arms in defense of their homeland and bombarding Hampshire students with quite hard and pointy acorns. Felt like they had been dried in the blood of students. One Hampshire victim responded. Now that's scary to me. That's extremely scary to me. If the squirrels are rising in arms, up in arms against Hampshire College, I would leave. Like, those fuckers could get in everywhere. Not through a screen, they're in your room. Then you can't do anything about it. You can't get them out. They're impossible to get out. Anyone could tell you. They'll just attack you. There's like some sort of rabies that goes around in the squirrels. That's what you have to worry about. Some sort of rabies or radical Marxist philosophy gets in the heads of the squirrels. Then we're all going to die because they will not stand for our current system. And I think we would have some Hampshire students getting behind the squirrel movement, especially if it is Marxist. Or rabies. I think Hampshire students could get behind rabies. That's like a good cause, and you could make some good Facebook pages related to that. So either way, I think squirrels rising is going to result in a kind of divide in the student population. Some could call it like the situation in Hogwarts and when the Dumbledore's army got behind with the Order of the Phoenix and they fought against the Death Eaters and all that. I think you just have the school divide into camps. Anti-Squirrel and pro-Squirrel. Brother fights brother. Roommate fights roommate. It'd be terrifying. And I think what we can do to prevent that kind of situation is start serving squirrels in Saga.
I hate to say it,
but that's the reality of the situation. If we don't start making an example of squirrels and ending the sympathizing, if we don't end communist sympathizing now, the Red Scare will take a hold of our country for the third time, and we cannot allow that. Squirrels will be behind it, I swear. So if we make an example of them, people eat them, they say, ah, this is delicious. You just don't ally with something you ate. There's something unnatural about that, I think one could argue. Shit, I have to get up at 8 tomorrow. Okay, well, that's enough for tonight. Thanks for joining me, folks. Hope this plays in the future. I think that'd be cool. I know there's not much material in here. It's not very good. But, like, it's nice to know your voice will be heard, a little time capsule thing for the future, so. Black Sheep. Class of 2046. Want you to know that we're all terrified Amazon is going to attack us with their drones and accidentally deliver our nasty Batman-themed lingerie to the wrong place, and our meemaw is going to open it because she lives next door. She's going to find our Batman lingerie and it's going to have our address on it, and it's all going to be this drone's fault. And we'll get upset at the drone. We'll throw a rock at the drone. And the drone has lasers now, man. We're just terrified that this is going to be the future. And I swear if it is, let me know, Hampshire. Let me know.